Thank you, Ruth. God bless you. Love you. I thought this would be a perfect place to put up pictures of my granddaughter. Don't you think so? You know what, Becky? If you come to our house with a youth group Friday night, I'm telling you right now, girl, I'm hiding my cat. Whoa. A few years ago, my husband and I were traveling from BC to Ontario. And we were exhausted. We needed a motel. We'd been on the road for about 12 hours. We arrived in a little place you might have heard of called Terrace Bay. And I prayed, Lord, help us find the nicest room possible at the best price. Well, unknown to me, my husband already had a plan, had a restaurant attached. We drove through the middle of town, and Bill stopped at a motel on the left called, are you taking care of me back there? I may never remember to do this, but I'll try. Ah, there it is. We went through the middle of a town and saw a motel called the Red Dog Inn, and I wondered, what did that mean? Is it a flea-bitten inn? Perhaps I'm barking up the wrong tree, but I preferred names like Honey, Homey Country Inn, or Mama, Sweet Little Country Inn. Know what I mean? Bill marched into the office and promptly returned with the rental bill. I grabbed a quick peat and almost croaked. $111 for a motel in the middle of nowhere? I must have been really tired, because then I remember sighing to myself and saying, Lord, is that the best you can do? We climbed the few steps to the brightly lit two-bedroom and happy to have landed. We quickly settled in for the night, and I jumped into the bath and had a nice hot steamy bath and prepared for bed. When I was finished, I turned down both beds, and Bill snuggled into his. And you know what? It was late. It was dark. It was quiet. And all of a sudden, our door burst open about 3 inches. Nothing stopped it but one of those U-shaped devices. And I, quiet, in control, who handles everything with patience, screamed hysterically like a deranged banshee. Well, Bill boomed at the stranger, murderer, killer, fighter, whatever he was, and said, get out, this is our room. And a male voice yelled right back at him, you get out, this is my room. The nerve, can you imagine? Well, who did he think he was? Well, by this time, in two giant leaps, my husband rushed across that room, and he hit that door so hard with both his fists and his arms, it vibrated like a mini bomb went off. The windows shook, the pitcher shook, I shook. Oh my, what next? As quick as he could, Bill grabbed the phone and called the front desk. Well, it took a good 10 minutes before that manager came on the phone and apologizing profusely. Well, apparently the room had been rented to other people, but they left and they took all their stuff, so they thought they weren't coming back. Whoopsies. Yeah. Well, the manager's sheepish demeanor changed quickly as he inquired brazenly, how many beds do you have in that room? Two, my husband said. How many of you are there? He asked. Two, my husband said, but we don't want any company. Well, would you be interested in moving to another room with a bed so the other party could have your room? My husband said, no. My wife has had a bath. The towels are used. The beds are opened. We're in them. We just lost 10 years of our life, and the answer is no. Well, then he said, well, what if I give you a complimentary breakfast? And my husband said, are you kidding me? And he said, okay, well, what about a complimentary room then? And my husband said, okay. So, I guess if you want a good price on a room, you ask the Lord for it and pray for people to come to your door in the middle of the night. But you know what really, really struck me? A free room? Oh my. What had I said to the Lord? Lord, is that the best you can do? Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Well, that's what really, really hit me, that God heard and responded to that. God hears every word we think, speak, and mean, especially when it involves Him. A large portion of the world calls on God, too, to damn something or another, or on the Lord Jesus Christ as a swear word, not ever wanting the presence of Jesus at all. But my friends, Lord, God, Jesus, are awesome heavenly words, and they're meant to call on the God of all there is, the great I Am, in reverence and awe. They are words that hold the power that breaks mountains, words that heal, comfort, calm, bless, protect, holy and mighty words filled with opulence, majesty, mystery, grace, and love. There's more power in the name of Jesus. Ooh, how did that get there? I'm pretty sure I didn't press the button yet. There's more power in the name of Jesus than all other names on the earth. Jesus, name above all names, casts out demons, raises from the dead, rebukes evil, subdues enemies, rights wrongs, brings good from evil, brings light out of darkness and joy from sadness and hope from horror. Jesus, name above all names. Is the name of Jesus in your vernacular as blessing or cursing? Do you realize that when you call on the name of Jesus, you are calling to yourself the very mighty presence of God Himself? In fact, a very part of the kingdom of God. Doesn't that seem in human terms to be impossible, improbable, unlikely? We don't think like that, do we? Today I'd like to show you the kingdom of God coming to you personally and what that can mean for your life and your future. And my prayer is that you will never be the same. Let's begin. Will you join me? Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We are to call on our Father, who is where? Who art in heaven. We are to remember to pray, hallowed be thy name, which means holy be thy name. Then we are to ask, thy kingdom come, your kingdom, God, come to us. Why? So his will, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is God's will in heaven? He wishes for us on earth, people loving God and loving each other, knowing God, trusting God, being safe with God, God in us in him, peace, joy, love, harmony, goodness, righteousness, justice, thoughtfulness, kindness, the end of pain and suffering, cruelty and sorrow, the things that we want for ourselves and our family, the things that are all that are good and right and true. Isn't that amazing? We're to ask God to bring his kingdom to earth so his will is done right here, right now. How often should we pray and ask for God's kingdom to come? How often do we want it? Every single day of our lives, right? No wonder Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Come to him by praying that Lord's Prayer. Having the kingdom of God and his righteousness is more important to you than the very food you need in your stomach and the clothes on your back. Pretty important to know that. Jesus had a purpose in coming to earth. Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ are all the same thing. Heaven is where King Jesus sits on his throne, where God and the Holy Spirit dwell, where angels reside and do his bidding, and where saints live like angels, and those who have eternal life find their eternal homes. But stranger than strange is this: the kingdom of God is in heaven. But do you realize that the kingdom of God is here also on earth, present with us, many times, many ways, many applications? Here is just one of those applications: where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Jesus is in our midst here today. There are two kingdoms that rule the earth, and one of the most important things to know that although there are two kingdoms that rule the earth, God is over them both. So I have kind of a makeshift thing to show that, just to show that God is over the two kingdoms that rule the earth. And I'm going to show you my little rendition of two kingdoms that rule the earth in just 1 second here. Okay. One kingdom is the kingdom of light, God's domain, and it's all good, glory, righteousness, truth, wisdom, peace, justice, Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, honor, wisdom, and joy. That's one kingdom. And the other kingdom is the kingdom of darkness, and that's Satan's domain. It's all evil, wickedness, corruption, hate, deceit, lying, destruction, cruelty, meanness, horror, and utter mayhem. The kingdom of darkness is only allowed to exist because man is given choice. In heaven, there is no darkness. Good to know. These two kingdoms fight to the bitter end, but don't forget, God is still over it all. They fight to the bitter end for our souls and our reputations. If Jesus gains our soul, Satan tries to destroy our reputation. The battle ensues for every one of us. Do realize that not only does God want us to be part of the kingdom of God, the power of God, the presence of God in our lives every day by way of his Holy Spirit, but he has given us many ways to do just that. The kingdom of God is the pearl of great price, one that man would sell anything he owns in order to gain it if he only knew its value. The kingdom of God comes to you literally when you ask Jesus to come into your life. How? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to forgive your sins, and then follow him from then on. How do I know this is true? Well, John 3:5 says, Jesus said, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And believe me, we want to, for all that is good and right and peaceful and true is there. We are automatically born of water when born, but being born of the Spirit is a godly thing. And when we're born of the Spirit, it's then that we are joined to the kingdom of God and become part of it. Then everlasting life enters our very being, and a part of the kingdom of God becomes a part of us. Us, God in us, us in him. At 30, Jesus began his earthly ministry, and he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The 12 disciples were told by Jesus, go, and as you preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely have you received, freely give. Jesus said in Luke 11:20, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, surely the finger of God has come upon you. Perfect. Thank you, Vanna. Would you not agree that when we are saved, healed, sanctified, cleansed, raised from the dead, or have demons cast out of us, we have been touched mightily by the finger of God. The kingdom of God has come to us. We do not heal, save, deliver ourselves. God does it. Jesus told the 70, heal the sick and say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Behold, I give authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Go out and preach, saying, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. God wants you to come to him. He wants you to repent and know the kingdom of God is near. If I said to Jesus, would you come and draw near, approach, and he did, he would be at hand, at my hand, so to speak. He would be right here. The kingdom of heaven is here now, drawing all men unto him. And any time two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the kingdom of God first. That's the starting point of all of life. That's the beginning of new beginnings and all life with God. That can also be the beginning for the hurting, the lost, the weak, the poor, the helpless, the hopeless, the addicts, the drunks, the rich, the complacent to change. Why is this important to know? If you are one who needs help with one or more of the following things, or if you know someone who needs help with one of the following things, listen well. If you are contemplating divorce, know this. God can set your marriage free this very day. God can and wants to intervene in your life right now. Are there stipulations? Yes, there are. One of them is give God your SOS plan. If you're an addict, you don't have to be. God can begin a work in you today that will never stop. Is there something that you have to do? Yes, again, give God your SOS plan. If you're given to condemning or criticizing, judging, you don't have to be like that either. God can set you free this very day, I promise. Do you just have to ask? No, there's a little bit more to it. That's not quite enough. If you're in bondage today, let me tell you, you no longer have to be. God forgives everything except the unforgiveness of others, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and an evil heart of unbelief. I promise that too. If you were hurt as a child, abused, neglected, I promise you God can give you freedom this very day. Again, give him your SOS plan. If you're bitter, suicidal, brokenhearted, angry, covetous, or someone you know is, weak, hurt, in pain, sorrowful, you can be free. They can be free. The Bible says, again, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. The kingdom of God is here at hand right now amongst us. He knows every secret. He knows every pain, every hurt, every teardrop. Still, he cares and wants you to make the first move. He wants to know you personally. He wants to be in your life. He wants to make a difference in your circumstances. And how do I know all these things are true? I have seen every one of them played out in life. By people who sincerely sought God, deeply desiring change, that did everything I'm about to share with you. I've seen a drug addict, not just a drug addict, but a crack distributor to prostitutes rescued from the pit of hell, not one moment too soon. He was on his way to prison. One moment with God changed his life forever. And an SOS plan. I've seen a marriage after many troubled years, hell-bent on divorce, stopped in a moment and turned around after many years of suffering, blame, and heartache on both sides. Began with one special moment of God and then doing the SOS plan that I'm going to share with you. I've seen many women, a Christian woman, delivered and set free from the pain of the past in one sincere moment with Christ and time with an SOS plan. I've seen suicidal tendencies, possessions stopped in their tracks by the power of prayer and a deeply committed heart. I've seen anger, bitterness, hatred, cruelty, pornography stopped in its tracks with an SOS plan. What's the difference between those who seek divorce, the hundreds of them, many that end up divorced anyway, and they seek counsel? But then there's the marriages that God intervenes in, and their marriages are saved. What's the difference between that adulterer, thief, liar, addict, the cruel, the mean, the bitter, the suicidal, the angry who spent a lifetime hating themselves and others, but never break the sin pattern, and the one who is healed in a moment by Christ and their lives are changed? I'm telling you, it's the SOS plan. You can have the greatest power on this earth on your side, opening doors, changing lives, if you but will. Why? Folks, we can't trust much in this world. We can't trust our health to carry us through. We can't trust our incomes to last forever. We can't trust many people in life, sometimes not even those closest to us. There is only one who will never leave us nor forsake us, one whom we can and should trust inexplicably, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And how does it work? Remember this. It's so very simple. SOS. S is for surrender. Total and absolute surrender to the one that created you. Invite Jesus in, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. O is for obedience. Walk in complete obedience. If he says don't, don't. If he says do, do. If he says go, go. And if he says stop, stop. S is for sincerity. Be absolutely, totally sincere in your heart of hearts and mean it. Keep your heart soft and clean. And what is the secret of SOS? Do it, and do it every day. Be right with and before God every day, and the kingdom of God will come, be in you, of you, work through you, bless you, guide you, and strengthen you. The people who have overcome life situations in the kingdom of God, having Jesus in them in surrender and obedience and sincerity, no matter how bizarre, no matter how complicated, no matter how terrible, hopeless, have found truth, forgiveness, and a future and a hope. You can too. Know this, the kingdom of God comes to you when you surrender and ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. The kingdom of God comes to you when you pray scripture or pray for others. The kingdom of God strengthens you when you read the word of God. The kingdom of God strengthens you when you meditate on his word. The kingdom of God strengthens you when you memorize it, when you ask forgiveness of others and from God. And the kingdom of God comes to you afresh when you ask to be filled with his Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God comes to you afresh when you cry out for mercy, when you help the poor, when you sing spiritual songs and hymns, when you speak his praises, when you thank him for all things, when you delight yourself in his word and his ways in creation. The kingdom of God comes to you when you ask him for wisdom. The kingdom of God comes to you when you humble yourself and walk in true humility. The kingdom of God comes to you when you walk in the Spirit. The kingdom of God comes to you when you kneel before him. The kingdom of God comes to you when someone is healed, raised from the dead, or has demons cast out. The kingdom of God comes to you when you trust him in all things. Can you see how a little bit of heaven can happen to you every day in so many, many different ways? The kingdom of God in heaven, the kingdom of God on earth. The kingdom of God in us, the Holy Spirit in us. Some of you have read Carla Faye Tucker's biography called Set Free, a book about herself, a murderess on death row for 14 years. As a young woman, Carla and a boyfriend murdered two people in Texas while strung out on drugs. February 3rd, 1998, after 14 years on death row, Carla Faye Tucker, now a confirmed sold out, born again believer, was executed by lethal injection. She was the first woman to be executed in Texas in 100 years. Carla spent those years in prison after finding the truth for herself, helping others, teaching others on death row the forgiveness of Christ and the love of God Nikki Cruz said of Carla, she was a trophy of God's grace turned around. During her last words spoke on earth, she said she was sorry to the families of those she killed. She sent her love to her friends and thanks to the warden. Then she said, "I love you all very much. I will see you all when we get there," speaking of heaven. "I will wait for you. I'm going to be face to face with Jesus now." Then softly humming to herself, she waited for the lethal injection. Can you imagine facing death humming? Only one surrendered, obedient, and sincere to the Almighty God could face death humming. She walked those days of incarceration in surrender, obedience, and in all sincerity, and she modeled for me the SOS plan. Carla's life could not have been worse, but the kingdom of God came to her when she trusted Jesus to be her Lord. She still paid for her sins on earth by the hands of man, but her sins, as far as God was concerned, were forever forgiven. She surrendered all and obeyed fully with a pure and a sincere heart. Jesus heard. Jesus saved. Jesus loved. Carla woke up in the arms of Jesus. Jesus used her mightily, and I imagine he's still using her mightily. And I think she's still humming. If God could use a murderess on death row, what might he do with us who are free? Were we to draw near to the kingdom of God and surrender all? Ladies, can I ask you a question? Would you like to be closer to the Lord tonight? Would you like to draw close? Would you like to give your hearts to the Lord if you haven't? Would you like God in your life making a difference? I brought these. They're on your table. I hope every one of you will take them when you leave, and you'll find the different ways the kingdom of God comes to us. But I'd ask you now, if you'd like God to be more in your life, if you'd like to draw closer to the Lord, would you stand so I could pray for you right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Father, Lord, God, you see every heart here, Lord, who wants to be closer to you. You see every heart, Lord, that may even be asking you to be a resident in their lives. So, Father, I pray for each one of these precious women and ladies. Father, may you fill them to overflowing with your joy and your presence. Lord, bless each and every single woman that is here this night. Well, Lord, may they leave closer to you. Father, continue to draw them into your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the life that you gave for us, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Don't forget, when you go, take this with you.